Welcome to the St. John the Baptist Catholic Parish Podcast from Fort Lauderdale. Be sure to spread the word about our podcast and follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That way you'll be notified every time we release a new episode. Welcome to Episode 3 of the St. John the Baptist Catholic Parish Podcast. Hey, did you get a chance to read Father Alberto's message in the bulletin last week? It reminded us that we're called to be understanding and merciful, instead of being harsh with judgment and anger, which, of course, all of us can fall subject to sometimes. In his article in the bulletin, he reminded us of that famous Benjamin Franklin quote, that a spoonful of honey will catch more flies than a gallon of vinegar. You know, the Proverbs have so much wisdom in them, and there is a proverb, chapter 15, verse 1, that a mild answer turns back wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So if you did not get a chance to read Father's message in the bulletin last week, we encourage you to do so. We'd like you to keep in prayer our young children who are preparing for First Communion. That is going to be on Saturday, April 27th at 11 o'clock in the morning. The First Communion, of course, is one of the three sacraments of initiation, baptism, first, right? You cannot receive any sacrament without the sacrament of baptism, right? That's the gateway sacrament, the one that makes you a child of God, that makes Jesus your brother, and makes you a member of the universal church. First Communion for children comes next, and that's usually, of course, around the second grade, followed by confirmation a few years later. So keep all the young kids in prayer, keep their families in prayer. It's always so cute to see like First Communion photographs, but a very, very, very special day for these young Catholics. Well, happy Easter. You know, as Catholics, we don't observe Easter as just one Sunday on the calendar. It's an entire liturgical season that runs through Pentecost. Now, I don't know if you were able to attend the Easter Vigil this year, but we're going to talk about the light of Christ and how at the Easter Vigil, the Church does something very beautiful with the lighting of the Paschal candle. Now, this is that very large, very tall candle that is often adorned with symbols that represent Jesus, like the Alpha and the Omega symbol. And one of the reasons the Church has the lighting of the Easter candle, it's a symbol of Christ as the light of the world, of Christ illuminating the darkness and guiding us on our spiritual journey. Now, if you've ever attended an Easter Vigil, you know that the lighting of the candle takes place outside the church, and then the priest or the deacon will bring in the candle and sing the light of Christ. Sometimes they sing it in Latin, Lumen Christi, three different times at the back of the church, in the middle of the church, and at the front of the church. And everybody comes in and brings their small little candles, and they're unlit, the congregation, as you wait for this to happen. And as the candle comes down the aisle towards the front of the church, everyone's candles are lit. Now, the symbolism of this happening at the Easter Vigil is deeply intertwined with the teaching of Jesus and his declaration that I am the light of the world. You find that in the Gospel of John. And this scene, as I just described, of the priest or deacon bringing in the candle into a darkened church, this represents what Jesus did. He came into a darkened world, and he illuminated it. The flame of the candle dispels the darkness in our church at the Easter Vigil. It symbolizes the victory of Christ over death, and it mirrors Jesus' role as the light of the world. Jesus illuminates our path to salvation. Now, the imagery of light holds a lot of symbolism throughout sacred scripture. In the Old Testament, light is often associated with God's presence and guidance. For example, in the book of Exodus, God leads the Israelites through the wilderness by a pillar of fire by night. You find that in the book of Exodus, chapter 13. Also, the Psalms frequently celebrate God as a source of light and salvation. For example, Psalms 27:1, "The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Or Psalms 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Now, in the New Testament, Jesus talks about this metaphor of light, not just to refer to himself, But also he says to his apostles, you are the light of the world, highlighting their role in reflecting his light to others. It's a role every Catholic has, to imitate Jesus. So as we think about this title of Jesus as the light of the world, and as we see the Paschal candle remain prominently displayed throughout the entire Easter season, lit within the sanctuary, it's a continual reminder to us about the presence of Christ among his people. The flame on that Paschal candle symbolizes the eternal light of Christ. And if we think back again to what happens at the Easter Vigil, where everyone has a candle that is unlit, and people that are by the Paschal candle when it's in the middle of the church start to light their candle, and they turn and they light other people's candles. And then that person turns. And so that is a wonderful reminder to us that we are called to take the light we're given from Christ and to share it with others. So remember, when you look at the Paschal candle, it's more than just a symbol of the resurrection of Christ. It's also an expression of your mission as a Catholic to be bearer of Christ's light in the world, a world that is often overshadowed by darkness. So as we continue to journey through this Easter season, let us live out the words of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The Catholic Church celebrates St. Mark the Evangelist with a feast day on April 25th. Now, St. Mark was not one of the original 12 apostles, but he is believed to have been a companion of both St. Peter and St. Paul. In fact, on St. Peter's journey to Rome, somewhere along the way, St. Mark joined him, where he learned firsthand from St. Peter about the life of Jesus. Well, St. Mark is believed, of course, to be the author of the Gospel of Mark, one of our four canonical Gospels. It's also the shortest Gospel, coming in at only 16 chapters. It's believed to have been the earliest Gospel to have been written. And one of the interesting things about the Gospel of Mark is it does not begin with the story of the nativity of Jesus. It starts out just talking about the fact that Isaiah, the prophet, had made a prophecy about John the Baptist and goes right into the story of John baptizing in the desert. Now, in Mark's Gospel, there are things that are unique that do not appear in the other Gospels. One of them is the parable of the growing seed. We find this in Mark chapter 4. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." In the story of the possessed swine, you remember, which happened after Jesus cast a demon out from someone, Mark's Gospel is the only one that gives us a number of those. 2,000 possessed swine. Now, our Savior Jesus Christ has many titles, of course. His most famous one is Son of God. But in Mark, and only Mark, we see the title the Son of Mary. Mark's also the only place where Jesus calls himself a carpenter. There is a reference in the Gospel of Matthew when Jesus is referred to as the carpenter's son. Also, the story of Jesus being arrested. Only in Mark do we have that extra detail that a naked young man flees. And when the women ask each other, who will roll away the stone? We find that in the Gospel of Mark. So St. Mark gave us the very first Gospel to be written. And it also has several nuggets that we would not have gotten from the other Gospel accounts. But what else is Mark known for? Well, he was believed to have founded the Episcopal See of Alexandria, which is down in Egypt, somewhere around the year AD 49. Now, when you see St. Mark depicted in art, you often see his symbol, which is the winged lion. Now, in other artwork, he can be depicted as a bishop on a throne decorated with lions. Or sometimes he's depicted holding a book or holding a palm and a book. One more thing about the gospel that Mark gave us. It's one of the three synoptic gospels. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're referred to as the synoptic gospels because they transmit to us many of the same stories that happened in the life of Jesus, often in the same sequence. In fact, over 75% of the content in the Gospel of Mark is found in both Matthew and Luke, and 97% of what Mark gave us in his gospel is found in at least one of the other two synoptic gospels. So when the church celebrates the feast of St. Mark the Evangelist, and we celebrate his historical contributions to the growth of Christianity when he went down to Alexandria in Egypt. St. Mark has several patronages. He's the patron of Egypt. He's also the patron of barristers, and probably most famously, the city of Venice. There's a very famous basilica of St. Mark in Venice, Italy. So we hope you have a blessed feast of St. Mark on April 25th, and we end by saying, St. Mark, pray for us. Thanks for listening to the St. John the Baptist Catholic Parish Podcast from Fort Lauderdale. Be sure to follow our show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and that way you'll be notified every time we release a new episode. This has been a production of the Parish Podcast Project.